Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join a member of our staff as they share another message from God's Word.
And we started talking about Christmas carols and how we sing these songs at Christmas time, and sometimes they just go blowing right on by us because we've heard them since we were kids. And some of them don't always make a whole lot of sense. And we sing them anyway. And we think we need to sing them because it's Christmas time. And we're going to take a look over the next few weeks through the Advent season. We're going to take a look at some Christmas hymns and explore why we sing them. Your staff and some other members of your congregation have written a devotional thought for a Christmas song for every day through the Advent season. If you checked your email this morning, there should have been an email in there through Constant Contact with a devotional on God Rest You Merry Gentlemen from me, and it appeared that much too early because I didn't want you to see it till after I had talked this message. But anyway, that's okay. If you read it, you can get up and leave now, all right? And then come back later. But this is what I think. God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, if we pay attention, we go, really? Who talks like that? What does it even mean, this God Rest You Merry Gentlemen? And we hear it and we sing it and it becomes part of the soundscape of Christmas time and we might not ever give it a thought. The first known publication of this carol was in 1760 and it was printed on what was called a broadsheet. Think about half of a sheet of newspaper. And they would print things on these broadsheets and they would sell them for a few cents a piece. And it appeared containing three new Christmas carols, but even though it was 1760, some historians assume that the song is probably a couple hundred years older than that, as far back as the 1500s. And ladies, I'm sorry if you're feeling left out on this, okay? I understand that this song has been omitted from some hymnals. Yeah, because it's viewed as sexist. I'm not going to that church. Anyway, and I'm not here to make excuses or explanations of why the gentlewomen were excluded, but feel free to listen to the rest of this message because it's for everybody, all right? And the thing that draws me to this song is that somehow 500 years ago, give or take, the writers managed to condense the whole of the good news of Jesus into the first verse in the chorus. We'll probably hear bits and pieces of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen a dozen or more times this season. And when that happens, I don't want us to hear a catchy tune with lyrics that are so old that they've stopped making sense. Words mean things, right? Yes? Words mean things? Okay, thank you. So let's break down this old English a bit. First word, rest. Well, first word is God. We know enough about God to know why God fits at the front of the sentence. But rest is this verb to keep or to place, to put. Please rest the teacup on the shelf is a whole lot different than please toss the teacup on the shelf, right? Merry means happy or at ease, like me in this microphone right now. Mary is happy at ease. So we say rest assured, rest easy, rest Mary. To say rest you Mary was to wish someone peace and happiness. It was used long ago as a friendly farewell. Today we say take it easy when we're leaving somebody, right? More often than not. But back then, we would say, God rest you Mary. Take it easy, God rest you Mary. There's another song, a much older song, that appears about halfway through the prophecy of Isaiah. And it contains this phrase, you, God, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. It's that kind of perfect peace, the peace of God, that the words of God rests you married gentlemen delivers is a blessing. A peace so real that nothing should cause us to dismay. Another word that we don't use very often, right? Dismay means great upset. What brings us dismay other than this microphone?
For crying out loud. There we go. We're only doing one service today. Hey, cares for everyday life can bring us dismay. There's bills to pay, there's jobs to do, there's gardens to weed, there's kids to feed. And all that is common and mundane, but sometimes it builds and builds and builds so much that we can slip into dismay. Jesus had a lot to say about our cares for everyday life. He warned us that everyday cares could ruin our faith and it could steal our joy. He said things like, you can't serve both God and money. And in explaining the parable of the sower, he said, the seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow to maturity. He taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, because faith is exercised and joy is discovered in day by day, moment by moment, dependence on God. Calamity, imagined or anticipated, can bring us dismay. Some people are worriers, and they live on the edge of dismay. And they're the same people who think that those of us that don't worry are simply not paying attention, right? And Jesus asked the best question. When he was encouraging us to trust God for our needs, he asked, can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And all the worriers in the crowd went, well, no, but... Another thing that can bring us dismay, real dismay, is calamity for real. We all experience calamity in some degree. We can't get through life without some kind of disaster. Loss, injury, grief are all real, and they can all bring dismay, faith-shaking, soul-crushing dismay, but it doesn't have to. As Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, he said, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And somehow I think that always includes time of calamity, doesn't it? It's all about perspective. It's about looking at whatever threatens us in the light of truth. It's believing with the Apostle Paul that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, not danger or famine or sword. Nothing should cause us to dismay when we remember one thing, that Jesus was born to save us all. And he was born to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. What are we saved from is a really important question. What are we saved for might be an even more important question. What are we saved from? We're saved from our sins, right? The condition of our heart and the actions that we take that leave us estranged from God and under the influence of Satan. Paul wrote about this in Ephesians. He said, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when we were raised, when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Saved from our sins. So what are we saved for? We're saved for the glory of God. Often our first thought is that salvation and forgiveness is about me. That Jesus died on the cross for me. And he did. But what if God's plan is bigger than you escaping hell? God's mission is the restoration of all things. That includes keeping you out of hell, but it includes a whole lot of other stuff too. And sometimes we get selfish about it. But Paul continues in this passage from Ephesians. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Remember what I said about that distance growing thin this morning? This is what we're talking about. God has somehow seated us in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us, all in the future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ. It's bigger than us getting out of hell. The song says to save us from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Astray is another word that we don't use a lot. We kind of know what it means, right? To go astray is for something has deviated from its intended course. The prophet Isaiah used this word astray when he wrote of the coming Messiah hundreds of years before Jesus' birth. In the King James Version, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. King James Version, that fits right about the time that God Rest You Merry Gentlemen would have been being sung. So let's put it in a little more modern translation. This is the New Living Translation. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sin of us all. Sheep, astray. Sheep are dumb. They're always wandering off because their heads are down and their noses are stuck in the grass, and they just follow the grass to the next bit of grass, to the next bit of grass, until they are lost. We think sheep are dumb, but are we really that much smarter? Isaiah didn't think so. Our heads are down and we tend to pay only attention to the next thing that will bring us comfort or pleasure or security. And we go from this thing to that thing to the next thing until we are so lost, we don't know where or who we are anymore. When we were astray, Paul again in Romans, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were still astray. We are sheep. But the good news is that we have a shepherd. And his name is Jesus. And he came to save us when we had wandered away, while we were lost. This is what Jesus says in the Gospel of John. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. And just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. The whole of the gospel of Jesus is right here in the first verse of this song. And it goes right by us. It plays on the radio and on our holiday playlist and on the sound system in the stores. And we may hear it while we're fighting the crowd at Walmart to get a 60-inch TV for 20 bucks, right? Or maybe while we're picking out a sweater at the Gap. Do you think they'll like this one? And the whole of the gospel, that Jesus died for us while we were helpless in our sin, is wafting in the air over our heads. Friends, these are tidings of comfort and joy. Tidings, we don't use that word very often either. Tidings means news and information. But we've heard that word before, right? Something about angels and shepherds. Again, the King James Version in Luke. And the angel said to them, the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Again, the New Living Translation. But the angel assured the shepherds, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Emma Green wrote an article for The Atlantic. And she wrote about this song. And she said, God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen, is a carol about the high spiritual stakes of Christmas. After all, if not for the birth of Jesus, humanity would be lost. High spiritual stakes. Friends, Christmas is a big deal. It's not a big deal because of lights and tinsel and gifts, and we all know those things, right? But yet, every year it seems to be crashing in on this wave, this pine-scented wave. And we can miss the high spiritual stakes of Christmas. We can miss that, after all, if not for the birth of Jesus, humanity would be lost. And this is the part of the message where I'm supposed to tell you what you're supposed to do with everything I just said to you. I trust the Holy Spirit. And I trust His work in us. And I trust the reminders of the Holy Spirit in a song that is so old we don't always understand the words anymore. And I trust that as we go through this season, I hope that the Spirit draws us closer and closer to the truth that we are saved from something and we are saved for something because of Jesus. So I close with these words. I'm going to put God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen in a New Living Translation, okay? Friends, take it easy. Take it easy and don't be troubled by anything. Because Jesus came to rescue us from the enemy of our souls while we were reveling in our disobedience. And let this good news bring you comfort, and let this good news bring you joy. God, I thank you again for my friends, for your kindness, for the way that you care for us. God, I thank you for the truth of Jesus. That these things that we read about in this season truly happened so that you could save the world. And Lord, I pray as we go through this season that we would see with new eyes the incredible gift of our Savior Jesus. In your name we ask. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.